exercise is a stress relief until it crosses over into becoming a stress if you don't do it. And it's still a stress on your body. Whether you are relieved mentally, it's still your physical body is running or pushing yourself on the bike or, you know, whatever it's doing. And so if you're not giving it that time to rest and recover, A, you're not going to get stronger. You're not going to get as far in your workouts if you're not resting. But it's just adding another bucket of stress to, God, you know, sleep, if you've got kids, the stress of if you're trying to get pregnant, job. I mean, my God, right now there's so much to stress about. And adding exercise of I've got to hit these goals just adds another layer.
This is the Entrepology Podcast. The podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and entrepologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So it's super easy when we are entrepreneurs and go-getters and people who've accomplished a lot in our lives to take this approach to everything we do, whether it's food or raising our kids or driving our businesses or our work or our purpose. It doesn't matter what it is. We do it with a level of swift efficiency. We do it with maximizing our results. Well, today we're talking about exercise, and we're talking about actually taking a different philosophy to how we choose, select, and build out our respective exercise programs. My guest today, Samantha Kellgren, is an expert at building out exercise, fitness, and movement plans that actually align to our intuitive need to move. It is not about how do we go harder and faster every time. It's about how do we build a movement plan that connects to our needs at any given moment, that actually enables us to fall in love with exercise again, and actually acknowledges the rest and restoration that our body needs to be able to work at its best. It was a fascinating conversation and timely at the front of a new year. It's my pleasure to introduce you to my guest today, Samantha Kellgren. Samantha Kellgren, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Yes, thanks for having me.
I'm really looking forward to this conversation. And for our listeners who've been hanging out over the last few weeks, we've been really focused on new habits and healthy habits and eating and emotional eating. And I'm really excited for this interview because what we're going to talk about is not just exercise, but a philosophy of exercising. And I know you do some really cool work where you talk about exercise related to menstrual cycles and how we intuitively know what we should be doing. It's not about how much can we do, but how do we really connect and have a philosophical approach to the exercise that we are picking? And I feel like it is the perfect time of year to do this. Samantha, can you share with everyone your journey with respect to health and your career and how we ended up here today?
Yeah, how we ended up here. I was going to say, this is the perfect time of year to talk about this. Every year at this time, it's on everyone's mind, that kind of reset. So a little history on me. I started personal training and actually run coaching. I fell in love with running when I moved to Chicago. I'm not in Chicago anymore, but I moved to Chicago 12 years ago. And it's really flat there, so it makes it very easy to get into running. There are no hills.
That's my kind of running.
And yeah, I know. I moved to North Carolina since then, and whew, it is a different beast. but, you know, I fell in love with the sport of it, but got kind of roped into, you know, more, faster, harder, right? It's very easy to do that. It is setting these race goals and these time goals. And it happened so slowly, I think, that I had that love of running, and then it turned into, okay, I have to hit this many miles a week, and I have to push myself, and that feeling of guilt if I didn't get those workouts in, if I fell short on my times, and there's a lot of that perfectionism we see, and with that kind of fell into the diet culture of less calories is more, right? And it's sneaky. I think it sneaks up on you, and you don't realize how pervasive that culture is, equating calories in to calories out, how many am I burning versus how many am I eating? And you can't win that way. And, it really, it's so hard because it's such a kind of gray area and fine line of, on the outset, this is seen as healthy, right? Having dedication go out for a run at 6 a.m. is seen as healthy. Ordering a salad instead of, fries is quote unquote healthy. But when you're doing it out of guilt or out of fear of gaining weight versus this is what I want and this is what feels good to me, that is when it kind of gets into dicey territory. I really didn't realize it was as big of a mindset for me until we started trying to get pregnant. And I went off the pill after my 7th marathon and didn't get a period. And I wasn't surprised the first month. It was like, okay, I've been on the pill for like 13 years. Like, my body has to kind of kick into gear. I understand that. But after 3 months, nothing, I, started to investigate and went to my OB. We did, maybe some of your listeners are familiar with this, called the Provera Challenge. You're essentially taking progesterone, and when you stop taking these pills, it should induce a period. And I got nothing. We did it twice, and I got nothing. So we go to a fertility clinic, and I have no uterine lining, so there's nothing to bleed out because of, it's called hypothalamic amenorrhea. It's essentially an energy deficit. So from all the intense workouts, running is intense, and long distance running is very hard on the body, and I was not getting enough calories to support that or enough rest. And it throws everything out of whack, and there goes your reproductive system is essentially shut down. And so it made me, okay, I gotta look at how I can change this and be okay with it. Because any of your listeners who love a good workout or maybe into their sport, it's hard to just stop. It's part of who you are. And so that is where the mindset work came in of, okay, I've got to change my attitude and what I think of my body and what I think of exercise and what I think of food, instead of, oh, just gain some body fat and stop running. It was very much more work than that.
It's so interesting to me because, as you're talking, I was like, it really is true. And I find, even when I get going with exercise, if I let myself fall into old habits, it's not about a philosophy of movement. It's about, okay, I've got to continuously hit my, I'm on my Peloton. I've got to hit my PR. Like, it has to get harder and harder and harder and harder every single time. Otherwise it doesn't count. And it really,
ooh, that's
right?
A good one. Doesn't count.
I have to take myself off that conscious way of thinking, or maybe subconscious way of thinking, and really consciously be like, I'm moving my body for this reason today, or in putting together my exercise plan for the week, really balancing out the philosophy of movement that I'm trying to bring to different exercise sessions. It requires a totally different layer of intent. So I mean, I love where you're going with this, because it's so easy to either, not move, or you're moving from this, like, I'm going to say, this type A philosophy of, it's like one more pounding activity in our life where we're trying to do the hardest,
yes,
and squeeze every last piece out of it. And we're kind of missing the benefit when we do that.
Yeah, you're missing the benefit. And really, we look at it as, which I get, it is a stress, exercise is a stress relief until it crosses over into becoming a stress if you don't do it. And it's still a stress on your body. Whether you are relieved mentally, it's still your physical body is running or pushing yourself on the bike or, whatever it's doing. And so if you're not giving it that time to rest and recover, A, you're not going to get stronger. You're not going to get as far in your workouts if you're not resting. But it's just adding another bucket of stress to, sleep, if you've got kids, the stress of if you're trying to get pregnant, job. I mean, my God, right now there's so much to stress about. And adding exercise of I've got to hit these goals just adds another layer instead of taking the stress away.
Okay, so what do we do about that? Like, I know for a lot of people, they're probably sitting here going, I actually never really thought about exercise like this. Like, I went to the gym 4 times a week and I like to lift heavy things and I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to or should do. And so this conversation is not meant to replace that, but it's meant to add, I think, a new layer and lens upon which we view and categorize our exercise. What is your philosophy on this? What's your process around how we do this?
That's a big one. And I think a big thing, especially as we see the emergence of anti-diet culture, is you're, like you said, replacing it. I don't want to replace it with this fear of, oh my God, I'm going to do too much. Now it's something else to worry about. If you are not thinking of your workouts and stressing about getting them in, then you are probably fine, right? The problem comes and when you feel major guilt for taking a rest day, watch how many times you're saying should. I should do this. I have to get this in, as opposed to I want to, or this is my plan. Look at if you can imagine you have whatever your plan for your workout is that day. If it were to not happen for scheduling, weather, childcare, whatever, do you feel extreme guilt and you have to force it in? Or is it, okay, I'll try to do it tomorrow. And looking at those questions of, hey, am I going to feel like I need to make up for this? Am I going to feel very guilty? Am I going to eat differently because of it? Or is it just, hey, that's the way the cards landed today. This is my plan to regroup tomorrow. Because they're very different approaches, right? If you think of someone, you know, myself, for example, going out for a run, am I going out for a run because I feel guilty for what I ate last night or for what I'm going to eat that day or I need to burn X amount of calories or hit this, you know, goal mileage? Or am I going out for the run because I wanted to get some form of cardio in and the weather is really nice? Like, that's the same run, but it's two very, very different mindsets around why I'm going out there.
So talk to us a little bit about forms of exercise too. And, you know, I find like runners, once they get into that running phase, like you can't take the running away from them. and I'm not sure how much you're a runner. So I'm not sure how much of that is like, we just get addicted to the endorphins and the end result of that. Or and I get that there's an intentionality around that. I've heard more and more of my colleagues in health say to me in the last few years, in particular women, you know what, I've actually stopped running and my body is so much stronger. I sleep better. I restore better because I've taken like the intensity of how I am moving out. I'm picking much more strategic types of movement, like spinning or yoga or things that are a little bit slower. And they're like, I'm getting better results. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. Oh, it's interesting when you say this, it kind of triggered a memory of, you know, when I was very much into endurance running and had some, you know, friends get injured in some way and their next go-to is to start a triathlon because it's a variety.
Right.
And they get stronger. They like it more. They're not so burnt out. And I think it's almost not so much there's the type and the intensity. So I almost don't place as much focus on, okay, what type is, but the variety of intensity you're getting. Because running, it's the same movement and it's intense on your body, right? Even if you're running slow, it's a pretty intense movement. So how can you get that variety in? Variety of intensity, variety of type. I think that something, you know, looking at low impact versus high impact, always great to get some mind-body movement in there. And I think that's the first thing people overlook, especially when you've got someone coming from that high-intensity mindset, which I get. I 100% get. It feels good to sweat. It feels like you've accomplished something, like you have pushed yourself, and it's rewarding. However, when we're used to that, we immediately discredit anything that isn't that, right? I see a lot of runners are like, oh, I tried yoga, but it's just too slow. And it's like, okay, but you're coming at it from, I'm trying to get a workout in. And the purpose of yoga is not to get a sweaty, intense workout in. The purpose of yoga is something different. So like you said a few minutes ago, what am I looking to get out of this? What you're looking to get out of yoga is to gain more flexibility, more peace, more calm of your brain. So when you do that on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, you're going out for a run and your body is ready for it. You haven't just pounded it day after day.
Yeah, it's I want to get into recovery indexes and some of those pieces. But it's funny with my patients, it was always like the high performance runners, spinners who are like, I can't do yoga. They're like, I just need something sweatier and hotter and faster.
Yeah.
And then my yoga people are like, I'm sorry, my heart rate is not going above 60, like ever. And I always talked about it to my patients in the context of yin and yang energy.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And that like constant need for, you know, even massages, like deeper, harder tissue massages. I was like, okay, mm-hmm. we need some yin here. Like there's a real deficiency of yin, like no more hot yoga for you. I mean, no more hot yoga, no more spin classes, right. no more running. Like we need to bring in the yin. And similarly, those people who are like, I only want yoga and I only want slow. I'm like, okay, it's okay for us to actually also induce that yang. It's that balance uh-huh. between the two of them. You mentioned something, Samantha, you know, you're talking about recovery, and I'm wondering, do you use any kind of recovery metric? Do you use heart rate variability or anything that you monitor in your clients in terms of really indexing their efficiency around recovery?
Yeah, really, I want them to be more in tune with how they feel, especially as you get into the fertility and the pregnancy aspect, when heart rate really you can't rely on, you know, with pregnancy. I want them to kind of tune in and see how they feel. So for one, the first thing I'll use is just the talk test of like, hey, you should be able to have a conversation. Like if we're going for intensity, just a few words, but if you're going for recovery, you should be able to have a conversation. If you're not working out with someone, have a little conversation just to yourself. See how you're breathing, right? You should not be holding breath. You should feel like you can do this longer and really tune into that. Because when you're out on a run, let's say, or, you know, bike, whatever it is, you're going to feel different every day. And not just to look at heart rate or pace or anything like that, but hey, this feels harder today. You don't have to know the reason. Just know that this feels harder. I'm going to take a step back. Or this feels really easy. I'm going to push myself. And to be able to go by that kind of internal cue. And it's hard. You're going to get it wrong. It's okay. But practice more with that. And the more you do, the more in tune you will feel. I will sometimes like not look at, I use an Apple Watch just for mine. And I will sometimes usually like not really look at it till after the run. And I can see the mile splits and see where I was feeling great or where it got harder and just different days. Oh, it was really sunny that day. Or, oh, there, you know, I would not have gotten as much sleep last night. And you see it show up in your pace when you're not really trying to control it.
So let's talk a little bit about when we're getting into this notion of intuition and really observing what's happening in our body. Can we start to unpack a little bit about the influence of exercise on menstrual cycles? Because there's certainly the, okay, I'm over exercising, I'm in an energy deficit piece. But I know one of the things you really like to talk about are some of the best types of exercises for different phases of our cycle, which I think is so super cool. And men, sorry, too bad you don't get this. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's really interesting because I was on the pill, so it was kind of like manufactured anyway, but I paid no attention to the effect of that. And granted, everyone has a different, from one different cycle and then different energy levels from their cycle, right? Mine is going to affect me differently than it affects you. But generally, we are actually able to kind of give some more power during like the first phase of our cycle. Whereas after ovulation, I tend to recommend to my clients to be a little more gentle on their body. And it doesn't mean not doing anything. I never want to scare people like out of exercising, like they're going to mess everything up if they go for a run. But to save those kind of gentler exercises, low impact for post-ovulation, you know, your body has gone through a lot. It has released egg, whether you're trying to get pregnant or not, right? Your energy and your hormones are fluctuating throughout the cycle. Why would our energy and exercise not, right? An amazing book that I love on this that gives a ton of details called ROAR, R-O-A-R. And she's got nutrition plans with that too. But it just talks about paying attention to your energy cycles, right, throughout, and going with that. You're going to do more strength and power during the very last of your cycle. And as you start your period, you're going to go more intense and kind of try new things and push yourself mid-cycle right before ovulation. And it's good to just keep track and play around with that. If you use anything, even just a period tracking app, and you can put in that you exercise, like, make a little note as to how it felt. Like, and just kind of start to notice your own. Some women don't notice as much. Some are very, very, like, swayed by the phases of their cycle. But just to have that give a little more leeway in how you plan your workouts. You know, like you said, it's not going to be the same every week. And taking into account, okay, I'm going to be in my period this week. Let's look at the exercises I want to do. Oh, I will have just ovulated. Maybe I'll do more yoga as opposed to more running.
Yeah, I like this too, because what it does for women is it also just, it facilitates a conversation, an understanding, and an opportunity for us to actually connect to our bodies. And there's so much information that can come through our cycles. And it's actually such an incredible advantage that we have an entirely different feedback mechanism and a much more intuitive feedback mechanism than our counterparts have access to.
Right.
I think that's really super cool. Samantha, if I were going to have you design like an ideal movement plan for someone as we walk into the beginning of January, we're not training for anything. We are training for life. We are like, how do I balance having increased cognitive performance and energy? What would that look like? What's a starting point for that?
Oh, a starting point for that. I think for one, instead of looking at a physical goal, which is, you know, we think exercise, we think, okay, what do I want to look like or what weight do I want to be? Look at it from a feeling and more feminine perspective. How do I want to feel, right? What's lacking now? Also look at what's working now, right? Maybe you have something that's really working for you. Okay, how can I incorporate more of that? And go from there. So start with, how do I want to feel? Is it, I am really stressed and anxious? Okay, maybe some more, like you said, yen, like maybe how can we cool that and allow space to let our minds wander? Honestly, for me, a big thing of running, it is kind of meditative. So finding your own thing. It's not looking at what is the best exercise. It's what's the best exercise for me. Where do I get into that state of flow? For some, it's, you know, Peloton. For some, it is biking. And it is, oh, my mind can kind of work out its own problems and be in its own headspace. And I lose track of time because I'm enjoying it. For me, that is more running. For like a friend of mine, it is swimming, where the whole time I'm swimming, I'm like, when is this over? So like, I don't swim very much. You know, they both, any form of movement is going to be beneficial to your body, but looking at more of how it makes you feel, and do you look forward to it or does it feel like a task? That's what you pay more attention to. Also to try new things. We get very set in our exercise routines. So, I mean, it's so hard with COVID with different gyms being closed, but even just going on YouTube and trying different styles of workouts, try a different style every day for a week and what sticks. Cause you might be surprised. I got more into dance this year as we started before COVID, we're going to a different gym and they had a dance class. If I was so set in my routine, I would not have tried it because, Tuesdays I run or Tuesdays I lift or Tuesdays I do yoga. I tried it and then I made it fit into my routine because I loved how it made me feel. So really focusing on that and then fine tuning from there. I would really look at if you have a quote unquote weight goal, where is that weight goal coming from? And what are you going to have to sacrifice to get it? And is that worth it to you? Like really starting with your values and beliefs, because, you know, like I said earlier, we are praised for motivation and dedication and willpower, but you want to write down what's most important to you. And when you cross that line, that's when you have to take a step back. So for example, if you're, you know, what's really important to you is maybe your friends, your friendships and relationships. Every once in a while, if you're turning down an invite to something in favor of a gym class, that's fine. But if you're routinely turning them down and you're not seeing your friends as much, that's when it's crossed a line. That was your big thing, and now your gym life is taking it over. So to make those, you know, really decisions early on, to make sure you don't cross that line of, okay, this is kind of becoming obsessive because I am turning down these things that I already stated were very important to me.
Right. Fair. And what do we do with those people who are like, all movement feels like a chore to me. I'm just not a movement person.
Right. Oh, it's so funny because I work with so many people on the opposite end. I think that, again, it's finding what you enjoy and looking that, because the red flag to me is like, that's a, you know, I hate to say it, but like limiting belief of this is not for me. Well, can you try it in a different way? Can you invite someone to do it with you? Can you listen to a podcast while you walk? What do you enjoy? Maybe what do you enjoy when you are, quote unquote, not moving? Can you make that mobile? I love listening to podcasts. A lot of people love audiobooks. Can you listen to an audiobook while you're out on a walk? Do you have a child? Can you go on a nature walk with them and just get used to it more in your routine? Because a lot of times it's because it's not in their routine and it's out of their comfort zone and they are afraid to start because it feels like, oh, I'm committing to something big. No, just commit. Just commit to today. Try it today. And then go from there. So start real slow. You're not making a commitment to do this 5 days a week. Just start with one day.
I love that. It's like anything else in health. It's like anything else in terms of business or habits. It's one step at a time.
Yes.
And your behavior will predict your future self. So if you're like, I don't like movement. I don't like eating well. I don't like whatever. Mm-hmm. If you know that that's going to be an ingredient to the outcome that you're after, there is a time and place where we're going to have to tinker until we find that movement, or we find that exercise, or we find that way of really mobilizing our body in a way that gives us back our power.
And thinking of, okay, what don't you like about it? Is it a sweatiness factor? Is it a weather thing? Can you do this in a different space? There are so many options now, and just writing it off, you know, thinking of what's my fear? Where is this coming from? Did I have a bad experience with something? It's really surprising how we talk to ourselves, and just paying attention to that. How are you talking to yourself? Like you said, like you really do create your reality. And you really do create your happiness. And if you can figure out what is it that I do like and how can I work that in, and ask friends. It's so funny because there's so much information out there, but it stunts you from looking it up. Oh, I wanted to try this workout, but when I type it into Google, I am completely overwhelmed. Okay, ask a friend. If you have a friend that does yoga and you want to get into yoga, but you're totally overwhelmed, you don't know where to start, say, hey, can you send me, you know, maybe one or two of your favorite videos to follow? Like that, start from there. Like scratch, start it from very, very simple so you're not overwhelmed, because that's why people stop. It's overwhelming.
Totally. And it, again, it's one step at a time. And we've had this conversation on a few different podcasts over the last few weeks where sometimes we just actually have to do things and we have to stand in that state of uncomfortableness. And overwhelmingly, the lesson that everyone has said that they came to through that was, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It's never as bad. Gaining weight. I had to gain weight to get my period back. That terrified me. Guaranteed. The thought of it was way worse than actually it's nothing bad about it. Like, it's fine. It really wasn't bad. And to look at, where is this going to be the thing that gets me to where I want to be? Look at that big picture, get really clear on what it is you want. And a lot of women, honestly, you know, I offer free, just like 30-minute kind of clarity calls. And some people will get on there, I don't really know what it is. I don't know what I want. Help me figure it out. And I can always boil it down to like one thing. One, you know, the last call I had, it was confidence. She just wanted confidence, but she's kind of going at it in the wrong way. And so to feel like, okay, let's see how we can build your confidence. And what that is for me, that's why I work one-on-one, because, you know, hers was, well, I feel confident when I have like mascara on and I just haven't been doing it. And, you know, COVID, haven't been doing it in a while. I'm like, well, let's start putting mascara on again. Now, if I were to write a program, I'm not going to say step one, put on mascara. That might not apply to you at all. But for her, it was this kind of Kickstarter, this kind of intro. And so to really think of the basics, I think, to start there of, how do I want to feel and what is preventing me from feeling that way?
Right. Right. Absolutely. Samantha, I feel like this is a perfect place to transition our interview. So at the end of all of my interviews, I do something called our KPIs. And just like we have KPIs in our business, I believe that we have them in how we live our lives as well. So I've got some rapid fire questions coming your way. You ready?
Oh, I love these. Yes.
Question number one, what's the most impactful book or conversation that you have read or had during the pandemic?
Oh man, I just finished last night, Lori Gottlieb's Maybe You Should Speak to Someone or Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. She's a therapist and talks about her therapy and then her clients. And there were so many, I just wanted to highlight it. I got it from the library and I need to buy it so I can highlight some passages in there because it was very moving.
Amazing. I love it. It wasn't on my list. Now I've added it. This is the most selfish question I ask. What is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
Oh, my health. Oh, God. Sleep. I go to bed. My husband makes fun of me. I mean, I am in bed, eyes closed at 10 o'clock. Sometimes I'll stay up to 11 on the weekends. But I love my sleep and I definitely prioritize that over a lot of things.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Oh, that they wouldn't otherwise know. God, it's people know that I run. I think what I challenged myself with the running. I never ran in college. It was afterwards. And it was this is a goal. I want to go after it and ended up running 7 marathons. And I hate being cold, but I would run in the snow, I'd run in the ice because it was just worth it to me. And I could block everything else to do that.
That's amazing. I could not.
I don't like the cold. It's bizarre to me how I was able to run in 15 degree weather, but I was out there and loving it.
It is. It's so interesting. And I remember I did a half marathon and I was at the cutoff point where the people doing the full marathon had another 21 kilometers to run and I had 2 left. And I was I do not know what is happening in the brains of the people who are going to the right now. Because I was I just need to get to the end. But, this is it totally underscores what we talked about through this whole conversation, which is we're all different. We all have different needs. And there's not one way of doing it. It's the philosophy you bring to it. So, I love it. I love your passion around running. It's amazing. Last question for you. Entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Oh God, I just think it's in you. I think that you can learn to hone it, but I think it is something that is in you because my husband and I had this conversation a lot. He's an entrepreneur as well. And just thinking of that corporate ladder of playing those games to get ahead with a boss and in a large company. And I'm who would want that? And he's a lot of people want that. I'm I just don't understand it. I think it's 2 different ways of being and I just can't be in another way. I have to create and I have to own what I'm doing.
I totally get that. Samantha, you have been such a fun guest. Where can we send people to learn more about the work that you are doing? So important as we walk into the new year.
Oh, thank you. Well, my website is simplywellcoaching.com. I have an amazing Facebook group. I started it during the pandemic. That was my pandemic thing. I'm going to start a group and I'm having so much fun with it. It is called We Thrive. So if you go to, it's all over my website. If you go to Facebook and Simply Well Coaching, and I've got invites there. Again, it's called We Thrive. Come join us. We have fun conversations. I've actually just started doing a guest interview series. I do free challenges. So that's kind of where the party's at.
I love it. Samantha, thanks so much. We'll hook everybody up in the show notes. It's been a pleasure chatting today.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Anthropology is the study and science of what makes entrepreneurs tick. It's the confluence of the mindset, strategic thinking, and health that we bring to the table as individuals compelled to create and contribute in this world. It's a lonely place to be at the top. It's a lonely place to feel like you are different, which is why we have our Anthropology Collective, a free Facebook group where women just like you gather to explore the ideas, philosophy, health, optimization, and the notion of purpose that we bring to our lives. The Anthropology Collective is open to anyone. You can find us on Facebook, and it's where people just like you are going to be hanging. Until next week, live life on, in, and with purpose. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker, and I will talk to you soon.